Call the order of the Board of Supervisors meeting. If everybody please rise to the flag salute. Let's start this morning with a presentation. David Jones.
Good morning, Chairman O'Brien, members of the board, CEO Robinson. It's a privilege to stand before you this morning to recognize Mr. Dale Butler. Many of us know Dale as having over 30 years of experience in leadership as a senior member of the Stanislaus County Chief Executive's Office. Dale has committed not just his professional life, but his personal life to public service as well. For years, Dale has been passionately involved in community service and has viewed his service to the community not just as something to be involved in, but as a part of who he is and what he believes. Now, we're here to honor Dale for the completion of his term as president of the Hispanic Leadership Council, but I also wanted to point out the important role that he has played in developing the Latino Emergency Communications Project. Now, as we've previously reported to the board, the Latino Emergency Communications Project was developed to improve communication to and through our Latino community in the event of a disastrous situation. Dale immediately caught the vision for this and has been instrumental in bringing numerous additional partners to this project. And Dale's passion for this project is inspirational. I wanted to share quickly one particular story in regard to Dale and what it says about Dale's character. Last year, we had one of the most significant natural disasters in the history of Stanislaus County, where 21 people died in heat-related incidents. We met at the Emergency Operations Center on a Monday afternoon for a briefing. One of the first phone calls that I made after that briefing was to the Latino Emergency Communications Group to solicit their help in getting the word out to the community on the situation that was in play. Dale Butler was my phone call. Dale answered the phone and said, "David, what can I do for you?" He said, "Dale, here's what's going on. We've just become aware of this. We're immediately taking action. Can you help us get the word out to the community?" What Dale told me was, "David, my brother has just died, and we're working on plans for the funeral right now. But I will do this." I said, "Dale, are you sure? You know, take time for your family." He said, "David, this is so important, what's going on right now. Absolutely. I'll be your point of contact." And immediately, Dale started getting the word out to the Latino community. I just wanted to share this story. It made a significant impression on me, how he could take care of his family in that situation, but the passion that he has for the community as well. And so it's my privilege to introduce to you today someone that I can not only call my colleague, but someone who I'm also pleased to be able to call my friend. That's Mr. Dale Butler.
Privilege to have you here today. I normally don't read entire resolutions, but this morning I'm going to because there's so much that we need to highlight here. So, Board of Supervisors resolution. Whereas Dale Butler's dedication has been recognized over the years with a variety of professional accolades, including the Earl A. Soloway Memorial Award for Equal Rights, the Stanislaus County Board of Supervisors Equal Rights Commission Special Recognition Award, the Humanitarian of the Year Award from the California Association of the Physically Handicapped, the City of Modesto Human Rights Award, the Volunteer of the Year from the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, and the City of Modesto Special Recognition Award. And whereas Dale Butler was the recipient of the 2005 El Concilio Amigo of the Year Award, and whereas Dale Butler, as President of the Hispanic Leadership Council, assisted in the creation of the HLC Arts Committee, and whereas during his tenure as President of the Hispanic Leadership Council, a Speaker's Bureau was established to better inform the community of the role of the HLC. Whereas Mr. Butler made presentations before the county's Equal Rights Commission, Retired School Administrators Group, and Advancing Vibrant Communities radio station in order to promote the Hispanic Leadership Council. Whereas Mr. Butler was instrumental in the establishment of the HLC President's Award Program to recognize outstanding HLC members. Whereas Mr. Butler assisted in increasing the visibility of the HLC Education Task Force through meetings with school offices and by joining the Modesto City Schools Parker Committee, which serves as an advisory body on diversity and equal rights. Whereas the HLC, under Mr. Butler's leadership, established an HLC mixer committee to host mixers to create awareness of the Hispanic Leadership Council and to promote membership. Mr. Butler has taken the lead as HLC's representative in working with the county and Latino organizations in the county in developing a Latino emergency communications plan. Mr. Butler proudly represents the Hispanic Leadership Council on the California State University Stanislaus President's Council. And whereas Mr. Butler served as honorary global ambassador to Modesto's International Festival. Therefore, be it resolved that Stanislaus County Board of Supervisors does hereby commend Dale Butler for the exceptional service he has provided to the citizens of Stanislaus County upon completion of his term as president of the Hispanic Leadership Council. Sir, thank you very much for everything you do with this community.
Very briefly, I want to thank the Board of Supervisors for this very special recognition. HLC is an organization that believes in partnerships with community organizations and working with the community to make the community better for everyone concerned. So again, I thank the Board of Supervisors for this very, very special recognition. It's great to see many people that I worked with over the years, and great for me to be here again, and thank you again.
Next item this morning is public comment period. I have no specific request to speak this morning, but this is type of the agenda to come forward to speak on any item that is not on today's agenda. Seeing no one, we'll move to consent calendar. I do have a request to pull item C3. Are there any other items that need to be pulled for separate vote or separate discussion? I have a motion to adopt items less item C3.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. All those in motion by Supervisor Mayfield, second by Supervisor Groper. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes 5-0. Now item C3.
I might just make a comment that I have a business relationship that's ongoing with the owners of this property, so I'm going to step down.
Okay. Okay, is there a motion to proceed on item C3?
Also moved.
Motion by Supervisor Mayfield. Second by Supervisor Monteith. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes 4-0. Okay, and now we are going to move to item B9, approval of first quarter status report and recommendations for the 12-month exclusive negotiation with DCCP West Park. Mr. Box.
Thank you, sir. Good morning, Chairman O'Brien, members of the board. Keith Boggs, Deputy Executive Economic Development Chief Executive Office. I'm here this morning as staff to the board-appointed ad hoc committee formed on March 6, charged to oversee the Crow's Landing exclusive negotiation process with West Park, a master developer candidate. The West Park team is currently preparing a detailed project description. That description will include the county-owned Crow's Landing Air Facility and surrounding areas. At the fourth quarterly milestone of this process, the detailed project description will be presented to this full board for consideration to move forward with an exclusive master development agreement. Today, however, is the first quarterly milestone to this process. There are several issues that the ad hoc has reached consensus on at this juncture, and therefore seek full board concurrence and direction to proceed. This is an action item. The recommendations before you are, number one, to accept the ad hoc committee first quarter status report. Number two, to review and accept the exclusive negotiation timeline and deliverables, including the quarterly milestones and reporting dates. Number three, review and approve the project area boundary map, the 4,800-acre total acres, which includes the 1,521 Crow's Landing Air Facility properties, as phase one development objective. And finally, number four, to approve and authorize the chairman of the board to sign a pre-development agreement that outlines project managers, key staff participants, information exchange, and protocol, and identifies PCCP West Park as the responsible fiscal party for all consultant analysis that may be necessary. So reviewing the exclusive negotiation timeline, I realize that this is a ridiculous slide. rather difficult to read at this scale. It is, however, in your packets, included as a print attachment, and it's also available online to those who may be watching from home for reference as well. The key milestone deliverable dates to consider here are located along the top horizontal axis to this document, and they are today, quarter one, June 5, deliverables that we will speak to momentarily. Quarter two, August 28th. Quarter three, the meeting of December 18th. And then the quarter four, April 8th, 2008 meeting for final report out and project description. The major deliverables identified in quarter one, again, left side vertical axis on that handout, include all meeting logistics, agreeing upon the strategy and process timeline, identifying the project footprint, which I'll speak to more completely in a moment, the beginnings of data review and all analyses, the preparation of a pre-development agreement, draft speaking points to consider in a master developer agreement, and ownership planning. As of today, all logistical issues have been identified and completed. West Park has appropriately taken the lead on data review and analysis, market analysis, identifying existing rail infrastructures, and all environmental constraint analysis. At this juncture, the current delivery timetable for state I-bond short-haul rail funding does remain uncertain. It is anticipated that a formal application process will be identified by the legislature by September, with application deadline by calendar year end, and potential award information by end of March 2008. West Park has clearly stated that the short-haul rail component and state infrastructure bond fiscal support are key elements to the success of this project. Therefore, the I-bond and short-haul rail funding issue will continue to be monitored and reported on at each of the quarterly milestone markers. The decision pertaining to property ownership has been moved into this list of quarter two deliverables. An independent third-party analysis will be prepared by ESA to identify and discuss the opportunities and constraints of retaining ownership of the county's 1,500 approximate acres versus some combination of long-term lease and or sale. Staff anticipates that analysis for your review by end of July. The map on the screen now, also in your packet, depicts the project footprint consistent with the multiple presentations made by West Park in February. The project boundary includes preliminary designations of industrial, including distribution and manufacturing, all rail intermodal, business park, and aviation support uses. The ad hoc committee has identified several key land use and scope requirements, and these are, number one, the footprint and project study area will not encompass county-owned properties west of the former Crow's Landing Air Facility at Fink Road, the current landfill properties. Number two, the project study area will not consider residential uses of any capacity. Number three, the county-owned properties at the former Crow's Landing Air Facility will be considered Phase 1 development and will be designated as first development priority. And fourth, the project study area will include key infrastructure improvements for the unincorporated community of Crow's Landing, as discussed at length in your board's guiding principles. These infrastructures will include roadway transportation, water, wastewater, and sewer improvements. ESA Airports continue to work closely with the ad hoc to ensure that the internal land uses and project buffers remain consistent with the board's approved reuse scenario, the retention of the prevailing wind runway for general aviation uses. As part of the exclusive negotiation process, West Park has agreed to fiscal responsibility for all third-party consultancy costs and analysis via a pre-development agreement. And regarding the pre-development agreement, key components to that include project managers' roles, responsibilities have been identified, The county may, in its sole discretion, determine that it is necessary to obtain additional assistance from external consultant sources. West Park agrees to reimburse the county for all costs associated with retaining consultants. With the exception of privileged attorney-client communications, the county agrees to deliver to West Park copies of all consultant work product. West Park acknowledges and agrees that the county has no obligation whatsoever to accept or approve any project proposed during the negotiation period, and that the county has no obligation whatsoever to reimburse West Park for any costs incurred during the term of the pre-development agreement. In addition, the agreement states any specific information that is claimed by West Park to be confidential must be clearly identified as such. To the extent consistent with state law, the county will maintain the confidentiality of all such information. The term of the agreement, upon your approval this morning, is retroactive to February 27, 2007, and shall continue until earlier of the execution of the development agreement, a mutual written agreement of the parties, 1 year from the date of this agreement. And finally, either party may terminate the agreement without cause upon 30 days prior written notice to the other party. Quarter two, looking ahead, and key deliverables through summer 2007 will include the continuation of market and economic data collection, infrastructure and environmental analysis. In addition, the ad hoc committee will review a cost-benefit analysis prepared by ESA and third-party consultants that will help to identify best potential strategies for land ownership and or sale options. During the second quarter, the county will begin a formal dialogue with the Federal Aviation Administration, FAA, and the Caltrans Division of Aeronautics to discuss future general aviation, airfield uses, and limitations. It's important as we begin to define land use and designation patterns within the project footprint to remain conscious of all issues and limitations related to general aviation and proximity. And also in quarter two, and consistent with the 12-month delivery timetable, West Park will be asked to deliver an extensive public meeting plan and begin to hold preliminary public meetings with emphasis on meeting with communities and citizens on the west side of Stanislaus County. In summary, the exclusive negotiation buy-in between the county and West Park has started on a very, very productive note. All participants are committed to delivering a sound and viable regional job center project. In subsequent report outs, you may want to ask West Park to speak directly to the various deliverables in their charge. That is a logistic and presentation format that I'll leave to the ad hoc to determine further. And at this point, Mr. Chairman, I'll conclude my quarter one update and defer to the ad hoc membership, Supervisors DeMartini and Monteith. If you have any questions, I or my members of my team are most certainly here to answer those questions. And Mr. Kimmelis is also available in the audience as well. Thank you.
Are there any questions? Any questions? Does any member of the audience want to speak on this item this morning? Okay, bring it back to the board. I just have one question, maybe more for the ad hoc committee or staff. How's the rail going? Has there been much discussion on that yet? I know it really depends on bond money and all the rest, but...
That's what it does, Mr. Chairman. The bond money is undetermined at this time with the state. We don't really expect anything till about the end of the year.
End of the year?
And since the rail was the key component of this project, you know, I've always had reservations about it. But I wouldn't expect anything till the end of the year as far as an answer on that.
Okay.
If I may.
Yes, sir.
On the rail issue, which is extremely important, but from the very beginning, everyone has been up front understanding the situation in Sacramento. And so this has been thoroughly discussed about the monies available. There has not been any surprises, and that's one of the things that I do appreciate in this negotiation is everyone is up front, and we ask questions and we get answers. So it's not blindsiding us. It's not something we didn't expect. It's part of the plans that we're working on.
I knew it would take a while to get an answer. I was just wondering if there's any updates. Thank you. Any other comments or questions?
I might just comment that it's probably been about a month ago, but we had an opportunity to go to Pleasanton and meet with the supervisor whose district this would run through, Mr. Scott Haggerty. And I had an opportunity to meet with the San Joaquin County COG and Stanislaus County COG and the congestion management folks from over there. And what I wanted to ascertain was that there was a will on all of those parties' parts to continue the discussion in an enthusiastic manner. And after hearing the presentation from Mr. Camilo's, that's indeed what came out of it. Didn't want to get down the road and find out that our political colleagues over there all of a sudden said they didn't like it. And it actually turns out that Alameda County owns more of this corridor already in terms of through the Niles Canyon than what we knew about. On the flip side, they have a lot of chips. We don't have many chips, and I think we can fully expect them to play those as we start. If we get to the point where we do have a portion of this bond money, we could expect them to throw their weight around a little bit in terms of what they get out of their grade separations and that sort of thing. But overall, Supervisor Haggerty was very supportive of the idea.
Very good. Okay. Any other comments? Any comments from the audience? Okay. Is there a motion?
Okay. I'd like to make a few comments there.
Supervisor DiMartini.
We have agreed, at least the majority of the board, to be in exclusive negotiations. So I have to respect the majority of the board, so I'm on this ad hoc committee. For the phase that we're at now, I think that we've negotiated the county's interest fairly well. Now, I certainly have reservations with the project, its size and its scope and what it will do to the area. I'm not going to get into that now. But the timeline, I think we worked out, and that took the most negotiation. I think that's fair. We put the footprint of the project at what was submitted when the developer proposed his project. Whether or not I'm in agreement with that is not the point, because that was what his project was. And then the developer agreement, which does identify who pays for what, and as far as liability and all those issues. So to those points, I'm satisfied with where we're at. Now, there's still a very long way to go on this.
Sure.
Very long.
Okay. Yeah. Mr. Montique, do you have a motion?
You want to make a motion?
No, I'm not making
it. I'll make a motion.
I have a motion by Supervisor Montique. Is there a second?
I'll second.
And a second by Supervisor Grover. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes 5-0. Okay, being past the time of 9:15, we have a public hearing to consider the appeal of Planning Commissioner's decision to deny the appeal of staff approval application 2007-09, Cilion Incorporated.
Yes, good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Kirk Ford, Assistant Planning Director. Let me get this up and running here. Okay, there you go. Thank you, Christine. What you have before you this morning is an appeal of a Planning Commission's denial of an appeal of a staff approval permit and a lot line adjustment related to the Cilion Incorporated's Keys ethanol plant. And I'd like to just very briefly give you a little bit of background, and then I'm going to have to go over some of the points that Mr. Harriman brought forth in his letter to the board. And I apologize for the time that I'm going to be taking of you this morning, but I think we do have to go over each one of these points pretty specifically. If we remembered nothing else about this, the only thing that staff and that the county has done in this situation is to issue a staff approval for two drainage basins in a planned development zone and to do a lot line adjustment. So with that, the actions taken by the county, again, are the issuance of that staff approval and the approval of a lot line adjustment. What we did not do is just as important as what we did do. There were no other discretionary approvals for the ethanol facility project, such as it is, like a general plan amendment, community plan amendment, rezone. Nothing else was required, because we do believe that the ethanol facility is an allowable use within the industrial zone where it is located. We have not adopted any CEQA document analyzing the specific impacts of the ethanol facility project itself, nor have we adopted any CEQA-related findings. Just a little bit of background of where this is, Highway 99, kind of Keys, to the west of the Keys Road interchange, Jessup Road. The A.L. Gilbert plant is here. This is the location of the ethanol facility in blue and their drainage basin here. And we'll go over a little bit of that. The general plan designation for the area is industrial for where the plant is located, right here, and plan development where the drainage basin is located. The community plan, the Keys community plan that was adopted in, I believe, 1999, also identifies this entire area to the west of Highway 99 as industrial. The zoning also, where the plant is located, the facilities here, zoned industrial, the access road and the drain basin are zoned plan development 123. This is an aerial photo of the site. The drain basin will be here, the access is here, and the facility is now being constructed in this area here. This is the existing A.L. Gilbert plant. Again, this is what the zoning looked like before the lot line adjustment. This is what the zoning looks like after the lot line adjustment. We'll go back to what it looked like right now. We put the plant here and the drain basin here, and just to consolidate ownership, the lot line adjustment puts all of the facility on facility here and the drain basin and access right there. This again is a site plan of the site. All you can see, all of the facility located in the area that's zoned industrial, an access road, and a drain basin for the Cillian facility and for the A.L. Gilbert plant here. A.L. Gilbert used to have the drain basin right there. We moved it onto that plan development. So basically, staff determined that an ethanol manufacturing facility is an industrial use specifically permitted within the industrial zone, and that no discretionary permits are necessary when a use is specifically permitted within any zoning district. Basically, this is the same as building a grocery store in a commercial zone. It's the same as building a house in a residential zone. It's the same as building a barn in an agricultural zone. This is an industrial facility in an industrial zone. So there were no discretionary approvals required for the facility itself. Remember, the only thing we're dealing with here is a staff approval for drain basins and an access road. Those are located on a property that is zoned Plan Development 123. That plan development was approved in 1985 with a variety of industrial uses, including what we believe are drain basins would be required for all industrial uses, very similar in nature to those that are listed. In August of 2006, Cillian applied to the San Joaquin Valley Air Pollution Control District for 21 different authority to construct permits. That's a specific permit that's required by the San Joaquin Valley Air District. As there were no other agencies with discretionary authority over the project, the Air District became the lead agency pursuant to CEQA. The county was not a lead agency because we were not authorizing any discretionary approvals for the Cillian facility itself. They ultimately adopted a mitigated negative declaration for the issuance of their permits in February of 2007. Following the Air District's actions, after they issued their mitigated negative declaration and issued their permits, we issued the staff approval permit for the drain basins and access, and we recorded the lot line adjustment. On March 12, 2007, we received a letter from Mr. Harriman appealing the issuance of the staff approval for the drain basins and access. The Planning Commission held a hearing on April 19th, and that appeal was denied 6-0 with one abstention. On April 30th, the board received a letter from Mr. Harriman appealing the commission's decision, and that's what we're here discussing this morning. In that letter to the board, Mr. Harriman has about 9 different items that he talks about, and I unfortunately have to go through each one of these a little bit briefly to talk to you about each one. First was inadequate. He believed we had an inadequate project description. There was a lack of analysis related to the mitigation measures, lack of evidence related to the traffic mitigation fee, considered that we were converting agricultural lands. We did not consider AB 32 and greenhouse gases. We failed to get a use permit or do an EIR. Without the staff approval or lot line adjustment, the project can't proceed. An additional mitigation measure was requested, and then he incorporated all of his comments to the Air District. And these are all the items that Mr. Harriman brought up in his letter of appeal. We prepared a letter to the Planning Commission and a report. Those addressed items 1 through 5. Following the Planning Commission's report, he expanded his appeal requests to the board, and those are addressed as items 1 through 9. And just very briefly, in his appeal, he suggests that we did not include a description of the A.L. Gilbert facilities, and that the Keys Community Plan did not address the A.L. Gilbert facility or the Cillian ethanol facility specifically. Well, the project description that we provided with the referral was very extensive. It included all of the documentation from the Air Pollution Control District. It included their mitigated negative declaration. It included all of our and their supporting references. The project description that we provided for this included all of the background on zoning, general plans, all the proposed uses, all of the maps, all of the site plans, all of the application documentation, as well as information about the Keys Community Plan and its related environmental documents and the plan development standards for Plan Development 123. In fact, in the Keys Community Plan, the EIR, they specifically identified and analyzed this particular piece of property, both where the facility is located and where the drain basins are located, as industrial and planned development. This is a page out of the Keys Community Plan draft EIR, and you can see here the industrial sites were identified as 52 acres of developed acreage and 32 acres of vacant industrial. And if you recall, this is what the Keys Community Plan looked like when it was adopted, and this whole area is that 80-some-odd acres of industrial use, including the Gilbert facility and all of the planned development area, as well as the Cillian facility site itself. And just for your information, the previous Keys Community Plan from the early 1990s and 80s included this whole area as being designated as industrial and planned development. So this area has been planned for these types of uses for a very, very long time. Basically, staff and the Planning Commission concluded that the project description provided was and is adequate, that it provided substantial detail and information regarding not only the actions proposed by the county, but also detailed descriptions of all of the construction and operations of the actual Cillian facility. His second consideration was that we lacked an adequate analysis and consideration of mitigation measures regarding traffic. He believed that the draft mitigated negative declaration that was adopted by the county is inadequate because of the lack of a traffic study. There was no project-specific traffic study completed, and that the Keys Community Plan MMRP, Mitigation Monitoring and Reporting Plan, specifically requires a project-related study. Well, first off, I need to remind you that the county did not adopt any negative declaration here. So his concern that we did some action without doing a traffic study is not appropriate, because we did not adopt any mitigated negative declaration. The traffic analysis was conducted, however, for the Keys Community Plan update and its EIR in 1998. The traffic analysis was also conducted just recently in the spring of 2006 for the update of our circulation element in the general plan. Both of these documents, both the Keys EIR, Keys Community Plan, and the circulation element, looked and analyzed this particular site as industrial uses, both where the facility is located and where the drain basin is located. The Cillian facility itself, remember, is an allowable use within an industrial zone and an industrial designated area. No additional environmental review beyond that which has already been done is required. We did not require a project-specific traffic analysis for the Cillian ethanol project itself, because no discretionary approvals for the construction of the facility are required. Keys Community Plan update included all impact analysis addressed the impacts associated with full build-out of that entire area. Remember that big triangle west of the freeway as industrial. The final mitigation plan that was adopted at the time of the approval of the community plan had specific mitigation measures designed to reduce various impacts to traffic, and we'll talk about that in just a second. There was no expansion of the A.L. Gilbert facility before staff as a discretionary approval, except to move a drainage basin as part of the actions that we've taken. And even if there were, it's very likely that we would have considered an expansion of an existing industrial use an allowable use within an industrial area. Remember, all we did was a drain and drainage basin staff approval, and the drain basins do not require a traffic study. Essentially, staff and the commission both believe that an adequate analysis of industrial uses, such as an ethanol facility and the drain basins, had been completed both with the Q's community plan and with the circulation element. Mr. Harriman also suggested that we had no written evidence to support our traffic impact fee that we have associated with this project, nor and request that staff prepares and circulates a traffic study. Well, the Q's community plan mitigation plan included mitigation funding program that was developed by the Department of Public Works to implement making sure that all of the traffic improvements in the Keys areas got funded. The total improvement cost for all of the traffic improvements that are necessary to implement the Keys community plan is about $46 million. $40 million of that was identified coming from our public facilities fees, $2 million of that comes from a Keys traffic mitigation fee, and $4 million from other sources. The Cillian facility itself, when they get issued building permits, will be paying both PFF fees and a Keys traffic fee as well. This table, I know, kind of like Keys table was a little bit difficult to see. This is a little bit difficult to see too, but it lists the different improvements related to the Keys traffic mitigation, including improvements to Faith Home Road, the interchanges at Highway 99, and others. Total cost, again, PFF $40 million, the Keys community plan about $2 million, and then unfortunately off the slide is the other $4 million from another source. So when we figured out the Keys traffic mitigation fees, Public Works spread those out among the different uses within the Keys community plan. Residential was basically assigned a value of $1.25 to $1.80 per dwelling unit, I mean $180 per dwelling unit. Commercial was $751 per 1,000 square feet, and industrial, which the Cillian facility is $465.20 per acre. That is to get the entire $2 million of the Keys Community Plan fair share allotment paid for by full development of the Keys Community Plan area. So again, this is part of the Public Works Mitigation Funding Program, showing how many acres, what the total units are, the number of trips associated with each of these uses, and then finally breaking down to a fee per unit and how much of that $2 million is assigned per acre. You can see here industrial coming across $465.20 per acre. And indeed, that is exactly what Cillian for their facility has paid based on 10.96 acres of industrial use. You multiply that by $465.20 per acre, you get about $5,500 in traffic mitigation fees, which they have paid. And all of this information has been available via the Department of Public Works and Planning, had it been asked for. It was not asked for until the Planning Commission report appeal, and it was included in the Planning Commission report. Again, both staff and the commission believe that there is substantial evidence on the record to support this traffic mitigation fee, and it's in accordance with both the Keys Community Plan and the circulation element, no additional traffic mitigation fees are required. Excuse me. Mr. Harriman suggested that the conversion of agricultural land has not been adequately addressed. He suggests that the initial study that was, quote, prepared by the county does not address conversion of agricultural lands. Well, again, I remind you, we did not prepare an initial study. But that the Keys Community Plan requires a one-to-one replacement of agricultural land, and indeed it certainly does, as a mitigation requirement. It's the only community plan we have that requires that. The San Joaquin Air Pollution Control District prepared the initial study. The county did not. But more importantly, remember, none of the proposed property that's involved with the staff approval or even the Cillian facility is agricultural. The general plan is industrial or plan development. The community plan is industrial. The zoning is industrial or plan development. Again, here's a picture of the general plan showing the site industrial, community plan industrial, zoning industrial. Staff and the commission believe that since there's no agricultural land being converted, there's no reason to address this issue, nor is there any mitigation required. Mr. Harriman suggests that we failed to comply with AB 32 relative to greenhouse gas emissions. We should not adopt a mitigated negative declaration until after the air district updates its thresholds of significance. The Planning Commission cannot make findings related to CEQA, considering the number of new ethanol facilities in the San Joaquin Valley. Well, again, the county has not adopted the negative declaration, nor has the commission made any CEQA-related findings. And a little bit of background on AB 32. This is called the California Global Warming Solutions Act of 2006. It was signed into law last year and signed by the governor. It includes very specific timelines for implementation. And the first threshold is July 1st, 2007, where the Air Resources Board needs to come up with specific guidelines. And indeed, they have proposed some very early action measures in April of 2007. Formal adoption is expected in July, but again, there's been no formally adopted guidelines by the state on how to implement AB 32. The county referred this project to the Air Pollution Control District for review because they are the regional experts. Because the district issued its own permits, the county has to assume that all air quality issues have been resolved to the satisfaction of the district. We consider that the construction of two drainage basins in the location that are proposed and the lot line adjustment would not have any significant contribution to global warming in any case. Mr. Harriman suggests that we fail to require a use permit and an EIR. He considers that the discretionary approval of the ethanol facility itself was required, that we erred in just assuming that it was an allowable use. He considers that the ethanol facility is not a permitted use, and he has some issues with the height limitations. The zoning ordinance specifically states that all industrial uses other than those specified in a very specific section are allowed within the industrial area. Mr. Harriman brings out three different areas of those exceptions. The first is related to distillation of bones, disposal, dumping, sanitary landfill, incineration, rendering plants, etc., tallow manufacturing. That clearly does not apply. Brings out the manufacturing of acid, cement, compressed gases, fertilizer, fungicides, etc. And finally, the refining of petroleum products or the smelting of ores. None of these apply at all. Now, I can understand why there might have been a concern about the compressed gases, because originally in one of the project descriptions that was provided by the applicant, they were talking about some commercial manufacturing or capturing of CO2, which is a byproduct of the project. Talk about that in a minute. Both staff and the commission consider this facility to be more similar to the existing distilleries, existing wineries, and breweries that are currently in operation in this county and others. It is, as an example, the Gallo Winery is in an industrial zoned area within the county. When he talked about CO2, certainly commercial capture of compressed gases would require a use permit. However, CO2 is a byproduct of this manufacturing process, but it is not being collected commercially. It's not economically feasible for them. They have removed that from their project description. It is not part of the project. What's going to happen to the CO2 as a byproduct is it's going to be scrubbed through liquid CO2 scrubbers and then released into the atmosphere pursuant to the Air Board's requirements. As a height limitation, fireproof structures that are not used for human occupancy have no height limit in the industrial area. We did get a memo from the interim fire marshal that concurred that these are non-combustible structures and that they're fireproof and they are not intended for human occupancy. So that the height limitation that Mr. Harriman brings up does not apply. He mentioned that without the approval of the drain basins or the lot line adjustment, the facility could not operate and that they were essential to the ability of the old facility to function. Well, neither the staff approval nor the lot line adjustments are absolutely necessary. The facility site plan could have been modified easily to preclude the need for a lot line adjustment. And indeed, there's not one single solution to drainage management, to storm drainage management. We certainly could have looked at on-site above ground or below ground storage for all of the stormwater. We could have tied into and paid for an expansion of the existing Keys stormwater management plan and the existing Keys drainage facilities. Other solutions could have been proposed that didn't require the issuance of a staff approval permit. We simply felt that it was the most expedient and effective way of doing so, was to move those onto the PD area. He requests an additional mitigation measure be proposed that all of the vehicles, haul vehicles and employee vehicles, use alternative fuels. And again, the staff approval for the drain basin includes a condition of approval that all activities comply with the mitigation monitoring plan as adopted by the San Joaquin Valley Air Pollution Control District. We believe that the Air District adequately considered all impacts related to air quality and that no additional mitigation measures are necessary. We consider that the two drainage basins, again, in the locations that they're proposed, would have no significant contribution to global warming at all. Finally, he incorporates by reference a letter that he had sent to the Air District. And these, the two things that are primarily important in that, from our perspective, are lead agency issues and some requests for additional information. Related to lead agency issues, remember that the proposed ethanol plant is an allowed use within the industrial zone. It does not require any discretional use approvals from the county. The Air Pollution Control District was the lead agency. At most, the county was a responsible agency, according to CEQA. The county has no CEQA review to complete and cannot be a lead agency. And there's a fairly good description of this in your Prying Commission staff memo, pages 5 through 8. In relation to incomplete information, staff believes that the public has received and has had access to all of the complete information regarding both this project and the drain basins. All the relative documents were available through the county if asked for. We sent the referrals directly to Mr. Harriman and included all of the information, including various addresses and phone numbers of county offices where these documents can be reviewed. Mr. Harriman made no additional calls to the department, made no additional requests for information, nor did he visit the county to look at any of the additional documents. Again, from a Planning Commission hearing standpoint, they heard an appeal of staff's approval for the drain basins. It was held on April 19th. The decision to uphold staff's determination was on a vote of 6-0 with one abstention. In summary, we believe that ethanol manufacturing, the facility itself, is a permitted use within the industrial zone and requires absolutely no discretionary approvals. The construction and operation of a permitted use within any zone is considered to be ministerial and requires only the issuance of appropriate building permits. Development of the site for industrial uses was analyzed in both the Keys Community Plan update and in the circulation element update. San Joaquin Valley Air Pollution Control District issued their authority to construct permits and no additional analysis is required. They also adopted a mitigated negative declaration. Remember that staff approval permit that's being appealed was required in order for two drainage basins and an access road to be constructed on adjacent property in Plan Development 123. Staff approval permits are required for any uses in that plan development. The lot line adjustment was approved to consolidate ownership patterns. Minor lot line adjustments are exempt from CEQA pursuant to Section 15305. The manufacturing facility itself, a distillery, or a drain basin are normal and acceptable uses within an industrial zone, both locally, regionally, and nationwide and statewide. These are the kinds of uses that are considered allowable within the industrial and planned development zones and are not dissimilar to other industrial uses in our county or in the area. Although it's complex in nature, although it's large, that ethanol facility and related drain basins are not outside the scope of what was contemplated for this area for quite a long time or other similarly zoned areas within the county. We recommend that the board find the staffs proceeded in a manner required by law, that construction and operation of the Cilion facility is a permitted use within the industrial zone, that the issuance of the staff approval for the two drain basins in PD 123 was in conformance with those development standards, and deny the subject appeal. I'll leave you with the site plan again, and I'm sorry again for taking up so much of your time, but I felt it was necessary to go through this detail. I'll be happy to answer any questions you have.
Are there any questions of staff?
I just have one, Mr. Chairman. The what is the height of this structure?
About 85 feet, I think. One of the towers is about 85 feet. I'd have to look at the plan again. I don't know that off the top of my head. I know that one of the structures is over 75 feet.
Yeah, that is the height limit for industrial districts supposed to be 75 feet?
The height limitation is supposed to be 75 feet, except in cases where there is a non-combustible, non-flammable facility structure that is not designed for human occupancy. In that case, there is no height limit at all, and that's in the zoning code. So our interpretation is, and the interim fire marshal's interpretation was, this is a non-flammable structure that's going to be over 75 feet, and it's not designed for human occupancy. I believe it's one of the towers that they've got. So it met that requirement of no height limit restriction at all.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions of staff? This is a public hearing. At this point, I am going to open the public hearing and ask anybody who wishes to come forward to speak on this. They may do so now. Please state your name for the record.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, honorable members of the board. My name is Richard Harriman. I'm an attorney. My office in Modesto is located at 1130 L Street, Suite B, Modesto, zip code 95354. I've been asked to appear and represent the appellant, Valley Advocates, a California nonprofit public benefit corporation in good standing with the state of California, located in Fresno. With the chair's indulgence, before I begin my rebuttal to Mr. Kirk Ford's excellent presentation, I would like to hand out to you a summary of issues and objections which I've provided as a means of having you follow my reasoning as I respectfully disagree with staff's interpretation. Secondly, since Mr. Ford took quite a bit of time to cover the county's position, I'd ask the chair's indulgence in giving me some time to address the points where I think we're in disagreement. Very succinctly and directly, the appellant disagrees with staff's conclusion that there is no discretionary approval required for the construction and operation of the Cillian Incorporated project. And I want to say something else because I know all of you, and I would think it's fair to say that all of you view yourselves as being business friendly. And I think that's something that this board is communicating to this applicant. However, I would respectfully submit that being business friendly doesn't mean that you fast track a project which produces highly combustible fuel and puts vehicles carrying highly combustible fuel and hazardous substances on the road without conducting the appropriate analysis at the project level. And our primary disagreement with staff is there's no doubt that you have a general plan that was updated in the circulation element that addresses large-scale circulation issues and capacity issues of traffic. There's no doubt that the Keys Community Plan update and environmental impact report also purported to address on a broad program EIR basis uses in industrial areas. Similarly, the 1985 document that was referenced does not address this on a project-specific level. And if you look at the mitigation measure in the Keys Community Plan Update, EIR, there's a specific requirement for a project-specific traffic study. It's intended for two reasons. One, to address the proper mitigation fees for over 200 trucks per day, heavy-duty trucks, leaving this vehicle, this site, carrying ethanol and carrying wet distiller's grain, an agricultural product, on the county roads 365 days a year for the life of the project. Staff indicated to you that the sum total of the mitigation fees for this multi-million dollar industrial project was a little over $5,000, gentlemen. The second issue that we fundamentally disagree with staff and the county's analysis is the project description. And that is that we contend respectfully that without the expansion of the A.L. Gilbert Company facility to the south in the same industrial zone, this project doesn't happen. And similarly, with respect to the drainage basin approvals that were issued as discretionary approvals, gentlemen, this project cannot proceed because of its location next to the rail spur and its location next to the A.L. Gilbert expansion. They can't put a drainage basin on site without revising their site plan. And there again is another discretionary action that was taken by your staff, which was the approval of the site plan. In my handout, I identified the Kings County Farm Bureau versus the City of Hanford case that was decided in 1990, which held that a site plan review constitutes a discretionary review and approval, whether it's at staff level, commission, or board level. So you already have substantial credible evidence from the staff report that they've approved the site plan, they've approved drainage plans, and they've also essentially approved a project description that includes the A.L. Gilbert facility. Moving along to the second point that I think is particularly important is that the traffic study that was conducted related only to impact fees from trucks from the project. It did not relate to the traffic safety issue. And if I might, Mr. Ford, would you be kind enough to put on the screen the, I think it was the second or third photo that you had, which is the aerial with, I would call it a Google map, and can't do it?
Don't take me a minute.
I think it'll help the board, and you're looking at your monitors, to look at what the traffic safety issue is. It's the one that has the green and the roads on it. Gentlemen, if you look at this diagram, the access and egress point from both the A.L. Gilbert company and the now not only proposed Cillian Incorporated project, but one which is being built right now before you've approved a drainage basin that was a condition of the construction authority to proceed by the county. The vehicles exit from a very unpaved, undeveloped road going southbound onto Jessup where it TX intersects into the Keys Road going essentially east and west. If you turn right coming out southbound and moving west on the Keys Road, you'll come to a stop sign at Fade Home Road. And if you go east on the Keys Road, access to 99, which gives the trucks northbound and southbound access to the commercial corridor, you'll find that there is no center, what we call a suicide lane. There's no striped left-hand turn or suicide pocket there for trucks coming out to turn left and go eastbound on Keys Road. Similarly, when you come eastbound on, strike that westbound on Keys Road, there's a stop sign indicator that shows that there will be a stop at the Faith Home Road intersection. However, there's no signalizing, there's no other indication to slow down or any indication whatsoever that large fuel-loaded and agriculture-loaded vehicles will be emerging and turning left. So if you look at the record in this case, and the record in this case includes the San Joaquin Valley Air Pollution Control District's mitigated negative declaration, which we've challenged in Fresno Superior Court and has a trial date of October 10, there is no traffic safety analysis. So please don't be misled by staff's representation to you that the traffic issues have been addressed. Circulation, congestion, and capacity may have been addressed in a broad-scale programmatic EIR level. This is a project being developed in this industrial zone. The other point that I'd like to focus on, if I may, is that Caltrans had initially requested that there be a traffic study prepared on this, and for reasons that are unclear in the record, they withdrew that request. I don't know the reason. I don't know what the explanation is. I think the other issue that we need to look at is that there's a discussion of groundwater being used or water being used from the Keys Community Services District. However, you will look in vain anywhere in your documentation in this record to find out the amount of water that is proposed to be used. And if I may, the same type of project, 55 million gallons per year, is being proposed in the county of Kern in the little community of Famoso. And they did the same thing down there by not having any traffic safety analysis because they are not wanting to be accountable for the necessary impacts that will take place at that T intersection. And those are safety impacts. And what I indicated to the Board of Supervisors in Kern County and our expert from the City of Modesto Public Works Department, remember that you won't see this project come back across your desk except for the property taxes that you'll be getting from it until there is a truck that turns leftbound filled with ethanol and is hit by somebody moving at a high rate of speed westbound on Keys Road with kids in the car and they're all fried. That's when it's going to come back to you because you haven't got a traffic safety study. And with all due respect, it's not about Cillian or A.L. Gilbert being bad guys. They're not bad guys. The project's probably a good project. The A.L. Gilbert project being cited next to it is probably a good thing. The problem is that you have failed to proceed in the manner required by law under the Irritated Residents versus the County of Madera case decided in 2003 by our 5th District Court of Appeal, which says that even if you come out with the same result, that you approve the project, you still have to go through the process the way that CEQA requires. So with all due respect, gentlemen, I disagree with the staff's analysis of the conditional use permit issues. They've addressed them. We've addressed them in our comments. I would respectfully submit that without these drainage basins, you cannot approve this project. It can't go forward. The conditions in the record provide that you have to have an approved drainage source. And your lot line adjustment and the drainage basins is a discretionary review by staff. It's being reviewed as a discretionary review by you, and it's part of the integrated A.L. Gilbert expansion project, which had no CUP and had a notice of exemption, just like this Cillian project did. So I would be happy to answer any questions. I appreciate the opportunity to appear, and I hope I've been respectful to staff. Mr. Ford has worked very, very hard on this to fast track it and to try to help the project component go forward. So let's be practical. What should happen here? This project proponent, if they had started in June of 2006 or July of 2006 and done a focus EIR, that focus EIR would have been completed in 90 to 120 days, and I wouldn't be there. Any questions?
Any questions?
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any other members of public wish to speak on this item? I do need your name for the record, please.
Good morning, gentlemen. My name is, my name is Isaac Cameron. Good morning to all of you. I live right in front of this facility that's going to be built. I got 9 acres right there. I've been there for 11 years now. And I am very much in favor of it. Everybody knows that we need more gas. And everybody knows that we need more jobs. You know? And the more you build tracks or roads, it creates jobs. So I'm very in favor of this. You know, there's a real big hardship for poor people right now with the price of gas. And I don't think it's going to go down anymore. So maybe this will put dent in the price, you know. You know, the pollution, all this stuff, you can't stop the wind coming from Mexico, coming from you know, from other countries. You can't stop it. It's just nature, you know. But you can do the best we can on that, you know. I'm not a politician. I don't know too much about politics, but that makes sense to me that we need more jobs and more gas, especially. You know, what was it? 30 years ago, I heard about electric things. You know, electric, you could travel. And if this person, if this can kill us all, we're going to have to buy a buggy and a horse. And I got a bunch of horses over there, you know, to go to the store and put a little buggy on it. It continues, you know. It's serious, and they're doing a lot of things in other countries that we just, for some reason or other, we can't do it here. Okay? That's a little bit of
thank you. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, my name is Jeremy Wilhelm. I am president of Zillion Incorporated, located at 31120 West Street in Goshen, California. I want to be respectful of your time today, so I'll make some quick comments here. Just a few of the rebuttals that you heard from Mr. Harriman on some of his comments there. One, that there is no compressed CO2, as Mr. Ford said. We have a CO2 scrubber that is 99% efficient. Pages 3 and 4 of the Air District's Mitigate Negative Deck explicitly talk about, you know, we're not capturing the CO2. The other thing that I do want to address is that from a water consumption, we are recycling roughly 50% of the water that we're using. We clean it up and it runs back through our plant, through our facility. We do have some evaporation that comes out of cooling the water down, but the other portion of the water is brought into the feed product, the wet distiller's grain, sold to the dairy facilities around the area. And so that, you know, that is being exported off, and you can say it's essentially reducing the water consumption of dairy cows. The other thing I guess I do want to mention is that, you know, the mention of 200 trucks, our estimation is that there's roughly 80 to 85 trucks hauling our product out. So we have roughly 20 ethanol trucks moving out per day. I will point out there's an existing trucking facility in that industrial park. There's also the A.L. Gilbert feed mill that's also mentioned there. The thing that I guess I want to briefly discuss in wrapping up here is that ethanol is a very environmentally friendly product. The product that we're producing is essentially a large moonshine still. You can drink our product it has a very short life, biodegradable life. It's not a petroleum-based product. It mixes in with water. It's not like it's going to be there forever. It evaporates. It goes away within about 24 hours. And if you look at the plant itself, we've used the best available control technology that's available. We think we have a very environmentally friendly facility. The product that we're producing is environmentally friendly, reducing our greenhouse gases, reducing carbon monoxide. The other thing, if you look at just the renewable fuels in general as an industry, it certainly is reducing our dependence on foreign oil. It's helping increase our energy security. And lastly, you know, wrap up here, from the economic reasons of this project, we'll have directly an averaging 200 construction jobs for the life of the construction of the project, which is about a 12-month project. We also will be employing approximately 30 full-time employees. We'll have about $1.5 to $2 million annual payroll at the facility. And indirectly, throughout the state of California, it's been shown that each ethanol facility will create about 850 jobs, which could be truck drivers, it could be people serving maintenance on the facilities, it could be people marketing the ethanol. So environmentally, our national security, and economically, this project is a win-win. We support the staff's decision here and their recommendation. And with that, we really appreciate your time. Certainly be available for any questions that you have. And at this time, I'd like to introduce our attorney, Timothy Jones.
I have one for you, Lee. He mentioned when you came out of that frontage road there to get on the Keys, there's a stop sign there.
There is,
and A.L. Gilbert's been using it for years,
as well as the
as somebody else, right?
Correct.
Okay. So it's not as if you just turn it and go right into Keys Road, and there is no traffic control there at all. There is a stop sign.
There is a stop sign, correct.
Okay.
And I also note that the intersection of Keys Road and Faith Home Road is a four-way stop as well.
Right. And the only reason you're building the basin, your water basin, is for the runoff, just the runoff. It's nothing that you're making. It's just the runoff from the rain and stuff.
Correct. We are a zero discharge facility. So
okay.
Every water that we consume is being recycled. There's no discharge. So it is simply stormwater.
Okay, and you're going to pump water there, and that's a high water table anyhow.
Correct.
In that area.
Correct.
Right? Okay. I don't think I'm foolish enough to say we're going to reduce the cost of gas. I don't think so.
Okay.
But it would be nice to say that, but it would help maybe clean up some of the gas that we use now.
Okay.
And keep in mind, you know, just for your information, every gallon of gasoline that's sold in California has 5.7% ethanol in it today. Mm-hmm. And most consumers don't realize that, but it is, from an air quality standpoint, that is the regulations today.
So it's nothing you're doing that someone else is doing.
Right. Correct.
Okay. Okay.
Timothy Jones, 2445 Capitol Street, Fresno, California. Three very quick, brief points. I'm an attorney. Mr. Herrmann is an attorney. He's not a traffic consultant. He's not a safety engineer. Your staff has reviewed this matter, and I do not believe his testimony about those subjects rise to the level of any expert testimony or opinion. He talked about traffic. The mitigated negative declaration from the Air Board covered traffic. It looked at it, concluded it was less than significant. I believe that determination satisfies any obligation on traffic that was analyzed there. He raised the issue of the site plan, whether it's discretionary or not. It's determined by the plan you're looking at. I don't think there's any doubt that the site plan you're looking at here is ministerial, given what you're doing, and your staff's analysis of that is correct. And really, those are my points. I'd be happy to answer your questions if anything has been raised that you would like us to address from a legal perspective on behalf of my client. And other than that, I will thank you for your time and your staff's effort and sit down. Thank you.
Any other members of the audience wish to make any comments?
Can I rebut 2 points?
Quickly.
Number one, Mr. Wilhelm indicated that the ethanol is blended. There's a denaturant, which is a petroleum product, which is immediately introduced into the ethanol that went before it shipped. Secondly, with respect to Mr. Jones's comments regarding my qualifications or the like, we do the dueling dance of the 20 veils all over the state. If you look at secret guidelines section 15.284, you see the definition of substantial evidence, which is fact, inferences drawn from fact, or logically drawn conclusions from fact. And I cited two facts in the record relative to the number of vehicles which are traveling. I cited the fact relative to the structure of the specific location and on up there, Jessup and Keys Road. And so with all due respect, there is substantial evidence in the record of a fair argument of a potentially significant traffic safety hazard, which, as Mr. Jones indicated in the mitigated neg deck, was purportedly analyzed by the Air Pollution Control District. However, they did not do a traffic safety analysis by any traffic safety engineer. There is no substantial evidence in this record of a review of a traffic safety hazard by a competent expert. You don't have it. And then finally, they changed the project description again. Now the compressed CO2 is out of the project, because if the compressed CO2 is in the project, you have to do a CUP. We object to the change and the lack of a stable, finite, and accurate project description. And I also would like to thank your staff for the courtesies they've extended me and Mr. Jones for being brief. Thank you.
Thank you. At this point, I'll close the public hearing, bring it back to the board. Any questions or comments from board members?
I just have a couple of comments. When this board receives, you know, 7 or 8 pages of material as the hearing is going on, we did not have time to read it. And this has happened over and over again on this board. If you want us to consider something, you should give it to us at least a day ahead of the meeting, because I can't read this right now, and I know no one else can. I'm okay with this project. I think it's zoned all right, and The only question I have is the traffic mitigation fees, which seems like the deal of the year. They're running 50 to 80 trucks a day out of there and only paying $5,000. I may be wrong, but I believe just a residential house pays a couple thousand dollars in traffic mitigation.
That $5,000
facility fees, anyway.
That $5,200 is specific to the Keys Community Plan. Remember, we had about 40-some-odd million dollars worth of improvements. $40 million of that is coming from PFF fees. They are also paying PFF fees, their fair share allotment of those PFF fees. That $5,000 is just above and beyond what they would normally pay for those improvements that are included in the PFF fees, specifically related to the Keys Community Plan update that was adopted in 1999.
I see.
So I'm getting away with only paying $5,200. Believe me, there is a lot of other fees that they're paying. I don't know what the exact total is, but it's pretty substantial.
Okay.
Any other questions, comments?
I'll make a motion. We deny the appeal and move on to the project.
I have a motion. Is there a second? And a second.
And Mr. Chair, members of the board, based upon the motion, comments by the board members, the actions of the board, which has held a public hearing on today's date, on the appeal by Valley Advocates of Lot Line Adjustment 2006-45 and staff approval from the 2007-09 laying in the construction of Cillian Inc. ethanol facility, and based on the public testimony, the staff report, comments by staff, other materials in the record, and presented at the hearing, the board then denies the appeal of the Planning Commission decision and finds and determines the following to be true and correct. Number one, on April 19, 2007, the Stanislaus County Planning Commission, by a 6-0 vote, denied the appeal of staff determination to complete Lot Line Adjustment 2006-45 and to issue staff approval permit 2007-09. The board finds that based upon the staff reports, documents received, testimony provided at the Planning Commission hearing, and the Planning Commission properly did not determine that the staff determination and approval are ministerial and categorically exempt under CEQA, and that there is no substantial evidence on the record that the project may cause a significant effect on the environment. Two, the project consists of two separate but related staff approvals, namely approval for construction of two storm drain basins in the industrial and plant development zoning districts and approval of a lot line adjustment. Three, the lot line adjustment portion of the project is categorically exempt under Section 15305 of the CEQA guidelines in that it is a minor alteration in land use in the area with less than 20% slope. It does not change the land use from industrial types or uses, and it does not result in the creation of a new parcel. Number four, the staff approval of stored grain basins for the project is categorically exempt under Section 15304 of the CEQA guidelines, and that the construction of the storm drains will require minor grading on land that does not exceed 10% slope and that does not involve removal of healthy, mature, scenic trees. Number five, discretionary permits such as use permits or staff approvals are not required when a use is specifically permitted within a zoning district. Number six, the Cillian ethanol facility is located entirely within a pre-existing industrial zoning district, and ethanol manufacturing is an industrial use that is specifically permitted in an industrial zone pursuant to Section 21.60.020B of the Stanislaus County Code. Number seven, ethanol manufacturing is not one of the specifically listed uses under Section 21.60.030 that require a use permit as alleged by the appellant. The board specifically finds and determines that A, subdivision A of Section 21.60.030 refers to a solid waste disposal facilities, and that distillation of alcohol during the seminal ethanol manufacturing process is not the same as or included within the term distillation of bones under that provision. B, subdivision B of Section 21.60.030 includes manufacturing of compressed gases. However, it is not economically feasible to capture and compress CO2 produced as an incidental byproduct of ethanol manufacturing by the Cillian facility, and therefore the Cillian facility will not manufacture compressed gases. C, subdivision E, Section 21.60.030, refers to refining of petroleum products.
However, the manufacture of ethanol is not a petroleum product that requires refining. 8. The 75-foot high limitation under subdivision A, section 21.60.040 of the Santa Claus County Code is not applicable in that A, neither a people lot adjustment or storm drainage basins will exceed the height limitation. B, on number dated September 11, 2006, the Fire Marshal's Office determined that the ethanol manufacturing facility would be non-combustible or fireproof and not intended for human occupancy. And C, subdivision B of section 21.60.040 provides that there is no height limitation for fireproof structures that are not used for human occupancy. Number 9, staff approval of lot line adjustment and issuance of a staff approval permit for two storm drainage basins is an industrial area for an industrial project. This consists of the development density established by existing zoning, community plan, and general plan policies for which an EIR was certified, and there are no project-specific significant effects which are peculiar to the project or its site. 10. San Joaquin Valley Air Pollution Control District received authority to construct applications for the Sonia National Plant, and in accordance with CEQA guidelines, the Air District assumed the role as lead agency under CEQA and prepared an initial study and proposed mitigated negative deck for the ethanol manufacturing project. 11. The Air District is a regulatory agency with resource matter, expertise on air quality issues, and granted authority to construct applications with substantial conditions to mitigate potential air quality impacts. 12. County of San Claus, as a responsible agency, reviewed and commented on the Air District's draft negative declaration for the Sileon project. 13. The Board of Supervisors, as a responsible agency, have independently reviewed and considered the information contained in the mitigated negative deck on the Sileon ethanol project adopted by the Air District, including the responses to comments. 14. All potentially significant impacts identified in the Air District's mitigated negative declaration have been avoided or reduced to levels of non-significance. With the mitigation as identified in the mitigated negative declaration, the mitigation monitoring plan, and the conditions of approval. 15. The Sileon ethanol plant with the mitigation measures set forth in the Air District's mitigated negative declaration will not have a substantial impact on the environment. 16. County adopted an environmental impact report for the Keys Community Plan, which considered the potential environmental impacts of land uses, including industrial use in the area of the project. Keys Community Plan EIR adopted mitigation measures relating to all types of land uses designated in the community plan, including measures to reduce traffic impacts to a level of non-significance. The project does not have a substantial or significant effect on the roads within San Jose County or the surrounding road system in that A, lot line adjustment and construction of two storm drainage basins will not result in increased traffic, and B, the Sileon ethanol project will pay an impact fee that, in combination with other impact fees, will fund traffic improvements in the area. 17. After considering the comments from all interested parties, including San Joaquin Valley Air Pollution Control District, testimony at the public hearing, the board finds that there is no substantial evidence in light of the whole record that the project will have a significant effect on the environment, including air resources. 18. Considering that all potential significant effects have been avoided or reduced to levels of insignificance, considering other projects, including industrial projects in the past, present, and future, this board finds that the project does not have a considerable incremental effect on the environment, thus there are no significant cumulative effects on the environment. 19. The board finds the persons opposing the project have only raised an issue that there may be a cumulative effect, but have not specified what the cumulative effects are or explained how or why the project may have a considerable incremental effect on the environment. 20. Considering the entire record, including comments from all interested parties, testimony of the public hearing, and the mitigated negative declaration adopted by the San Joaquin Air Pollution Control District, the board finds that project approval issued by the Department of Planning and Community Development are ministerial actions and are consistent with existing uses in the industrial zoning district where the project is located. 21. The county correctly and timely followed all procedural steps as required by CEQA for the issuance of their requested lot line adjustments and staff approval, including but not limited to the following actions. A, initiating early consultation with responsible agencies through the CEQA referral to the Environmental Review Committee. B, determination of exemption. C, publication, mailing, and posting of notice and hearing for public hearings conducted by both the Planning Commission and the Board of Supervisors. D, conducted public hearing by the Planning Commission. E, conducted public hearing by the Board of Supervisors. 22. The public was adequately notified of the intent to approve the lot line adjustment and issue a staff approval for project storm drains, and that a number of comments and letters about the project were received from affected and interested persons, and companies. In reliance on the information contained in the record of the proceedings, including but not limited to mitigated negative declaration adopted by the San Joaquin Air Pollution Control District, the Keys Community Plan, Sample Standard General Plan, the Board finds this project has been designed and located so as to avoid any significant environmental effects. A, the project is required to comply with the traffic mitigation measures set forth in the Keys Community Development Plan. B, there are no natural water features or wetlands located on the site. C, the project is located in an area zone for industrial uses and is surrounded by similar industrial uses. D, San Joaquin Valley Air Pollution Control District has issued permits with substantial conditions to minimize or avoid impacts to air quality. The board finds, 24, the board finds that a public controversy does not exist solely because the applicant objects to the project, and the board further finds that even if the relatively few objections raised does not constitute a public controversy, the existence of such a public controversy over the environmental effects of the project should not require preparation of an environmental impact report and that there is no substantial evidence before the agency. And this board, this project, may have a significant effect on the environment. 25, board finds that no evidence has been produced on the record to show that Mr. Richard Harriman possesses the qualification of expert on air quality, traffic, or other environmental resource topics, and that his statements are merely unsubstantiated opinions. The board specifically finds that Mr. Harriman has failed to comply with CEQA guideline section 15204B, and that he did not identify a specific environmental impact, explain what the effect would occur, or explain why the effect would be significant. 26, Mr. Harriman's testimony reflects narrative and anecdotal observations about generalized environmental effects and did not explain the basis for his comments, did not submit data or other references offering facts, reasonable assumptions based on facts, or expert opinions supported by facts on the comments. 27. Mr. Harriman's testimony, letters, or lay opinion without qualified technical expertise and do not constitute substantial evidence supporting a fair argument that the lot line adjustment or construction of the storm drainage basins could result in a significant effect on the environment. 28. Mr. Harriman read and considered the board has read and considered written and oral comments by Mr. Harriman, find that the contentions set forth by him and his client have been adequately addressed by staff or by the applicant's representatives, or have been controverted or countered with contrary evidence. 29. The board considered contrary evidence to the points raised by Mr. Harriman in assessing the weight of the evidence supporting the asserted environmental impact report, and the board concludes that no substantial evidence was presented or exists in the record that the project will have a significant effect on the environment. In reviewing information presented by the applicant, including the letter by Mr. Harriman, in the letter submitted today, the board further finds that for the following individual and collective facts, there is no substantial evidence contained in the record that the project will have a significant effect on the environment. A, there is no evidence of legal significance reasonable in nature, credible, and of the solid value that the project will have a significant effect on the environment. B, in accordance with Public Resource Code Section 21080E, the record contains evidence submitted by the applicants, by the appellants, that does not constitute substantial evidence, as it is argument, speculation, unsubstantiated opinion, or narrative, or evidence which is clearly erroneous and inaccurate. C, there is no substantial evidence in the record which includes facts, reasonable assumptions, predicated on facts, expert opinions supported by facts that the project will have a significant effect on the environment. D, there are no opinions contained in the record that the project will have a significant effect on the environment that constitutes substantial evidence which have been provided by a witness who is qualified to render such an opinion. E, there is no information contained in the record that constitutes substantial evidence that the project will have a significant effect on the environment, which has been demonstrated to have an adequate foundation on the witness's personal knowledge. F, the record contains evidence submitted by the applicants, by the appellants, that does not constitute substantial evidence as consists entirely of expressions of substantive concerns, personal beliefs, unfounded conclusions, inherently improbable, or not credible. G, when considering the view of the entire record of the information presented by the applicant is incorrect. 30, the board finds that there was no evidence placed on the record by Mr. Harriman who actually visited the site in question. 31, the board finds Mr. Harriman's letter did not provide substantial evidence, substantial data or evidence, but only made vague, unsubstantiated references to potential environmental impact reports. 32, the board further finds Mr. Harriman's letter offered no quantitative information. 33, board finds that Mr. Harriman does not agree with the conclusion of planning staff that the environmental impacts, including traffic and air quality impacts, would be less than significant. He does not support his opinion with substantial evidence and offers unsubstantiated opinion about environmental concerns. Mr. Herman does not attempt to provide quantitative data to support his assertions. Accordingly, the board does not give much weight to Mr. Herman's opinions and conclusions. Therefore, the board finds that certain statements provided Mr. Herman on behalf of his client, either in the form of an argument, speculation, or unsubstantiated opinion or narrative, that was either not credible or adequately addressed by applicant, by appellant, and does not, that was adequately addressed by applicant, and does not overall constitute substantial evidence that there was not any significant effect on the environment that would not be reduced through mitigation measures or of the negative declaration adopted by the San Joaquin Air Pollution Control District. The board finds county staff and representatives, number 35, for Cillian, represent sufficient evidence of no significant environmental impact reports, and the showing has not been countered with any contrary substantial evidence. 36. The board finds the traffic impacts resulting from the project are insignificant, that lot line adjustment does not result in any physical impact on the environment, and the construction of storm drain basin is a minor grading project with minimal impact on the environment. 37. The board finds that the proposed project involves no substantial conflict with the general plan designations or zoning applicable to the project site or general plan policies related to the location and development of industrial use in industrial zoning district. 38. The board finds that there is neither an individual nor cumulative impact associated with the loss of farmland in the area already zoned, and the area is already zoned industrial. 39. The board finds that based upon the whole record of the proceedings, there are no environmental impact effects that reach the level of being significant. 40. The board has received the entire record of the proceedings and makes a determination and finding that there is no substantial evidence in the record that supports a fair argument that there is a reasonable probability that the project will result in significant effect on the environment. 41, finally, the board finds that its decision is based independently and collectively on the above findings.
I have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes 5-0.
Thank you.
Moving on to correspondence.
This board has received three letters from the Governor's Office of Emergency Services regarding the U.S. Department of Agriculture's granting of the Secretary's disaster designation declaring for San Felipe County and other counties as primary and their contiguous counties due to agricultural losses caused by the combined effects of drought and freezing temperatures that began October 15, 2006 and continuing.
Refer to the Chief Executive Office, Office of Emergency Services, and the Agriculture Commissioner until there are ways and measures.
This board has received three letters from the Governor's Office of Emergency Services regarding the U.S. Small Business Administration's declaration of the San Felipe County and their other counties as primary and their contiguous counties as disaster areas as a result of the USDA disaster designation due to agricultural losses caused by the combined effects of drought and freezing temperatures that began October 15, 2006 and continuing.
Refer to Chief Executive Office, Office of Emergency Services, and the Agriculture Commissioner until there are ways and measures.
This board has received a letter from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development regarding the disposal of the Riverbank Army Ammunition Plant.
Refer to Department of Planning and Community Development and to the Chief Executive Office.
This board has received a letter from the State of California Fish and Game Commission regarding a notice of public hearing on the proposed regulatory action relating to upland game bird hunting.
Refer to Department of Parks and Recreation and the Fish and Wildlife Committee.
This board received a letter from the California Department of Forestry and Fire Protection regarding public hearings on proposed rulemaking for fire hazard severity zones 2007.
Refer to Chief Executive Office, Office of Emergency Services.
This board has received a letter from the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, FEMA, regarding levies that are credited on the effective flood insurance rate NAP and in the effective flood insurance study report for the unincorporated areas of San Felipe County.
Refer to the Department of Public Works and to the Chief Executive Office, Office of Emergency Services.
This board has received the claims as noted on the agenda.
We acknowledge receipt of claims and refer to the Chief Executive Office, Risk Management Division. Are there any Board of Supervisor reports?
Yes.
Supervisor Montes?
Last week, I attended the first five California statewide conference, which was in Garden Grove, California, and we had others from San Felipe County attend. In fact, we had our county council, Mr. Klausnick, was in attendance. We had John Sims, who's the Children and Family First Commission. We had Dennis Hunt, who's in charge of VHRS,
and we had Ked Patterson from CSA, and we had Dr. John Walker, our public health department, and others who attended. And in those sessions, we all attended various workshops. Some of those workshops were early education and family literacy, early mental health. We had family support, health access, local evaluations, communication. So as you can see, we had a very informative conference, and I believe all who attended benefited. Thank you.
Very good. Any other reports? Is there a legislative fiscal management report?
Yes, I just have two items to touch on this morning, if I may. The first is Williamson Act, the funding for Williamson Act, which is approximately $1.6 million from state to from the state to offset revenue losses as part of the contracted lands program. Stanislaus County has about 700,000 acres of contracted lands. Is in jeopardy, we understand, this year. This has been an issue of ongoing debate for a number of years. The latest information coming out of the governor's office is that without considerable work on county's parts and on our legislative delegation, that the governor is intending to blue-pencil the $1.6 million, statewide about $39 million. So we are working very actively and very aggressively to let our legislative delegation, our lobbyists, know the impact on Stanislaus County and on agriculture generally throughout the state if we lose this funding. I'll keep you posted as we move forward.
We do have a closed session. Mr. Crossman, can you announce that?
Sure.
Catching your breath from
you.
All right.
Mr. Chairman, there is one item on closed session, conference of vendor negotiator. The county negotiator will be Mr. Robinson. The organization stands as County Sheriff's Management Association. Senate Government Code Section 549-57.6.
We're adjourned to closed session.